Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I'll be your host for this program. This is another in our ongoing series, The News in Review. And once again, our focus is on the two sad cases out of Florida, Haley Cummings and Kaylee Anthony. Joining me in the studio is my wife, Jan. Jan, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you, Simon.
And can you give us a quick guess on the final score in today's Super Bowl?
The score? No, not the score, but I can tell you the Saints is going to win.
Who dat?
Yeah, you're right. Who dat? Nothing like a bunch of Saints fans.
From Gainesville, Florida, we have the news and programming director for WSKY 97.3, T.J. Hart. T.J., great to talk to you.
Good afternoon. It's been a busy week, Simon, and it was a pleasure speaking with you Friday with that special one-on-one program, and I never properly thanked you for that. I want to take this time to say that right now.
Well, that's wonderful. And as a football guy, who do you favor in today's matchup?
My brain tells me it's going to be the Colts, but my heart says it will be a partay for several weeks to come if the Saints come marching in. So I'm going for the partay.
Don't give me heart failure here.
Oh, just imagine a bunch of men in a dress. That's what they're doing down there. They said if the Saints ever made it to the Super Bowl, you'd see a bunch of men in a dress. And I know for a fact today there's a bunch of men in a dress.
Yes, there is.
It should be quite the game.
I'm staying right here in Florida.
and from Sin City, Nevada, we have the slightly under the weather but recovering crime doctor, Denny Griffin. Denny, how are you doing?
Hi, Simon, TJ, Jan. I'm doing a little better than I was yesterday. Hopefully I'm on the upswing. But speaking of thanking, thanks, I wanted to also thank you, Simon and Jan, for being on with me Wednesday night for the Missing and Exploited Children show. I really appreciated it.
It was our pleasure.
Yeah. Did you get some positive feedback as a result of that show?
Very much. People were quite excited that we did that show and that we were talking about trying to do things in the future. So that very positive.
Good.
Yeah, and we do hope that we can combine forces in the future and do more of that kind of activity.
Well, I'm with you, and I think that whatever we can do, every little bit helps, and maybe we can be the nucleus for starting the snowball effect here. I hope so.
Yes, fingers crossed. As always, our switchboard is open, and we welcome your questions and comments. Our number is area code 646-378-4657. We also have our chat room open, and you're welcome to ask your questions in there. Our editors will be monitoring it. Let's kick off with the Kaylee Anthony case. There were a couple of developments this week. The Kaylee Anthony trial is now set for May 2nd, 2011.
Yeah, and that's sweet.
Yeah, I mean, what happened to Baez and his magic evidence clearing Casey? Wasn't that supposed to happen on February the 1st
this year?
Yeah, but
you know, I haven't read anything at all about that. How he got away with not coming up with any of that, I don't understand. But they have changed the date to May 2nd. I don't really understand why it was so long, but now they've got that all the case requires all the depositions from law enforcement officers and employees to be completed by September 30th of this year, and The deadline for all the evidence-related motions to be filed by October 31st, and all the other depositions must be completed by January 31st, 2011. But, I mean, she must like being in the solitary confinement or whatever you call it with her by herself like she is, because either that or they might be buying time to keep her there so she's not out in population. But some reason or another, they're keeping her right there. So I don't know.
TJ, do you scan the Orlando Sentinel at all?
Once in a great while I do.
There's this wonderful guy. He writes a column. He's known as the TV guy.
I've seen his work. He's very good.
Yes, he is.
Hal Boudica. But I mean, little of what he writes about seems to have anything to do with TV. And he has this delightful article up about the Casey Anthony trial, and more specifically, Jose Baez's image. And he bases it on some surveys that Kathy Bellick of WFTV reported, and he has some great comments about Baez. A jerk who should find another line of business.
Well, how does he really feel?
Right. And another prospective juror said, not a good lawyer. He's just out to... he's not a good lawyer who is full of himself.
Jiminy Christmas.
Oh, wow.
Denny, I know you prefer to listen rather than talk, particularly as you're under the weather, but... I mean, what's your thoughts on Jose Baez?
I alternate at times thinking he's a few steps above Perry Mason or more or less a joke. And some of the stuff they do, I can't believe they do it. So that's why I'm thinking maybe he knows something that nobody else knows, or maybe he's a brilliant strategist. I don't know. Overall, though, I tend to view him as an incompetent. That's what it comes down to when all is said and done for me.
I'll do a Nancy right about now. Okay, he's incompetent.
Well, I don't understand. If they've got all this proof that somebody else did this, how can they possibly make her sit behind bars all this time, plus another whole year, and plus some, for her to just sit there if they can prove that she hasn't done anything?
Wouldn't that be
sense.
Some kind of legal malpractice to do that? I mean, if you could
it
get your client,
like
if you truly could get her sprung now to let her sit there for going on 2 years perhaps,
I mean,
when you could have her out, that
right.
seems
normal
to be at least unethical, if not culpable.
I just don't see it. I think they're just drawing straws here, trying to hope that something's going to come up.
Well, clearly Jose and his dwarfs and are just not appealing to potential jurors at this point. Let's move on to the other case, Haley Cummings. It's been another very busy week. TJ, do you want to bring us up to speed?
First of all, this week coming up will be the one-year anniversary since his little girl was discovered missing in the wee early hours of February 10th. And we need to keep that in mind, because a year is a very long time, and it's a very long time for a little girl to be gone. What we did learn this week were a lot of different things. We learned, first of all, that Ronald and Misty had some additional charges levied against them, and their bonds have been increased. Ron now to about $900,000, Misty to $1.35 million, and they can't figure out 10%. We also heard some additional tape from Tommy Croslin this week. We have additional jail tapes from Misty and from Ron, and we can go into that into a little bit detail. What is interesting, and I think you and I covered this not only in personal conversation, Simon, but also on the radio show Friday, for folks who did not listen in, it's not what's on the tape that's telling. It's all that has been redacted. In many cases, you're listening to what could have been 15 to 20 to 30-minute phone calls, whittled down to about anywhere from 6 to 9 to 12, 14 minutes. And it's what you're not being able to hear that is going to be what's important to hear in the next several days. We've been told that more arrests are probably going to happen. I'm just going to put on a guru. I'm going to be a psychic for 10 seconds and predict that as many as a half dozen people will be rounded up and at least be questioned. And of those half dozen or so, there will probably be arrests here in the next month. And we'll see where it goes from there, whether it's going to be anything that's Haley-related or if it's going to be all drug-related or some of both. We're going to get some audio tape and maybe some videotape from a woman that everyone seems to have a fascination with, and that is Donna Brock. Now, when I went over to the St. Johns County Jail this past week, and I spent a good deal of time there with Sergeant Chuck Mulligan, who's overseeing this operation. They have a worker there who takes care of all of the media requests. Now, this worker came back from medical leave pretty much to get this job done, but the employee can only work a half day. And I want to tell you, no one's working harder. This employee is chomping at the bit, wanting to be there, you know, of course, all day to get these media requests met. And and a good hard worker. So we were thankful for what we have so far, but these volumes are so big that they cannot send these out electronically through an FTP site or whatever. They have to be picked up by courier, or in my case, I just drive over there. It's 75 miles one way. I go over there, I pick them up, and then I race them back to the radio station as fast as possible to try to get them back on the website and shared with bloggernews.net. We'll see what happens on Monday if those are completed or not, and there should be a couple more, too. We'd heard the tale that Hope Sykes had been bailed out of jail. That has not come to fruition. I spoke with Lieutenant Greenwood electronically today, and we don't have anything on that. He says, nope, she's still there, and so we're just going to have to go with that at this point in time. There were some other things that have taken place this week. Crystal Sheffield, the biological mother of Haley and Ronald Cummings Jr., otherwise known as Junior or Butterbean, was in a hearing that took place, and this is usually through the Department of Children and Families. And folks, I've been trying to chase ghosts on this, and I've had a rough time trying to get any kind of copy or hard records of this. But I did seek out and reach out to Marie Griffiths for an answer to this question. And I simply put it to her in email form. I said, you know, there are a lot of stories going on, and some of them may be true and some of them may be false. But unless the truth gets out there, unfortunately, what people want to believe will fill in the void and be their truth. So I will tell you this right now. It's not easy for a mother to say anything bad about her child. I mean, put yourself in that place. So I give Ms. Griffiths a lot of points for addressing this and saying, yes, what you heard is true. She failed a drug test. The child remains with the family in Baker County. However, Crystal must undergo rehab, and I'm trying to go from memory on this. She said it's needed. It's something that she needs to do anyway. She really has to do this. And it was hard for her. And she threw out a few, you know, defensive jabs as well, and it's understandable. So I just printed the email on the on bloggernews.net and also on the sky973.com with her email intact. I mean, what you read there is what she wrote me. So there are a lot of people who are doing a lot of armchair quarterbacking and, you know, taking turns throwing garbage over their neighbor's fence because the truth isn't what they want the truth to be to them. And I got news for you, folks. I don't have a dog in this hunt, and not too many reporters do have a dog in this hunt. We take a look at this whole thing, and it's a tragedy top to bottom. We have to look at this analytically. We don't cheer. We don't cheer. So when the truth of the matter comes out, folks, you need to realize that just because it isn't what you want your truth to be, it doesn't equate to bashing. We go back to square one. We go back to week five of this whole escapade when people start throwing crap over the other person's fence and being bad neighbors in this whole blog atmosphere. So please, folks, there's going to be a lot of things that are going to touch a lot of nerves. It's going to be very tender in a lot of cases on all sides of this equation. The Cummings-Crosland folks have been going through their situations. Crystal now is going through her situation. My heart goes out to the grandparents and the great-grandparents and the other relatives in this because clearly two young parents, it's difficult to raise children anyway, but when you're young, there's so much that can go wrong. And neither one of these biological parents have displayed any kind of skills in proper parenting, and it's a damn shame that two children are involved. We hope one of them comes back home, and we hope the other one has a very good life being cared for by people who love him, whoever that may wind up being in the end.
That was a bit of a rant.
A good one, though. A very good one.
Yeah, and full marks, TJ. All right, let's...
Well, when you ask me what happened this week, I could throw in a dinner or a lunch or something.
Okay, there was a vigil held yesterday, and I do believe that the grandparents have reconciled their differences. They were both there. What do you know about that?
Apparently they did. About 100 people showed up at Celebration Park, I think it was at Glen St. Mary, for the vigil. There's going to be another one, I do believe, in Satsuma coming up on Wednesday, and I believe all family members who possibly can make it, there will be some excused absences, will be there for that that vigil as well.
Well, I think it's great that the grandmothers could work together with this. I think they should. There's no reason that they shouldn't.
Well, except that there appeared to be some bad blood between them.
Yeah, but still, they should put that on the side until this child's found.
There are so many tender points here and so many sticky points here that I think for the most part the grandmothers and great-grandmothers and all of the other family members are really trying. There's so much sensitivity out there that from time to time they wind up you know throwing trash over each other's fence there too.
Right, but
terrible.
TJ, what kind of media coverage did that event draw?
It drew a few because it was held in Baker County. I believe that you had a lot of Jacksonville press up there. I wasn't able to attend. So I wasn't able to get there. A media release came out in the form of an email and then also in a Word document about the who, what, when, where, and how. And you're supposed to contact HaleyMedia.com or something like that for any further information, whoever Haley Media is right now. There were a couple of newspapers and I think one television station, might have been two.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, you bring up an interesting question. I get the occasional email from this elusive Haley Media person. We do not have a name for who it might be.
No, not at this point. I don't anyway. I haven't been able to run that down yet. I was basically keeping up with the releases of the tapes and getting confirmation on that hearing. That kind of fell by the wayside on me.
Okay, look, let's go back to the failed drug test. Rumor has it that she managed to pop a Loratab, which she got from a friend. Is there any truth in that one?
There are several versions of, quote, the truth on this. But to the best of what I've been able to find out through sources and through whatever confirmation I could get from Marie Griffiths, is that she had failed the test and that she refused a second one because she had taken a Loratab from a friend. So that gives you two in this case. So rehab was ordered, and Marie sounded very thankful that the rehab was part of what she had to go through. There were, Crystal was very emotional from accounts that I read today, and of course one would only imagine that a biological mother of a child missing would be emotional, and some were trying to play drive-bys on this, you know, like a drive-by blog stating that, oh, she was detoxing, and it's like, okay, whatever. So she was emotional, and I don't know when her rehab begins, to be quite honest with you. So once again, we're trying to chase down the documents on that. And when you work with the Department of Children and Families, they only make things public when they want to make things public. They have kind of that omnipotent power since minors are involved oftentimes.
Right. And, you know, that there are legal aspects about what you can and can't say when a minor is involved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The big news, though, has to be the tapes that were released. We have Misty, we have Tommy, and we have Ronald. What's the big thing that's missing out of all of those tapes? Any mention of Haley?
A couple, not many, just a couple of mentions. I did run across a tape. I'm trying to think if it was 5 or 6, but there are a couple of in the Misty calls where she says, if I just tell them anything about Haley, they might let me, out of here. But I know something. No, wait a minute. I don't know nothing. Realizing that she was being recorded, and for some reason that was left in.
Actually, the favorite quote has to be the advice given to Ronald. There might be snitches.
I've seen a few prison movies.
I'll tell you what. Let's take a call. We have someone coming in from the 757 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hi, this is Mitzi. I have a lot of questions, but first I want to say thank you to the whole panel. You guys are fantastic.
Thank you.
One of my questions is, why is it so difficult for anyone to find out the exact hours, shift hours, that PDM has?
In that case, they've never answered any of my requests since the get-go. They're not required to answer or report or anything. They darn well don't want to. All we know is what we got from law enforcement, and law enforcement got from PDM that in the case of Ronald, he worked overtime that night.
Actually, Jen brought up a question earlier today.
Yeah. There was questions about Ron taking a drug test. I mean, where he worked at PDM, wouldn't you be required to take a random drug test for his job?
That I can't answer, but a lot of jobs where you operate heavy equipment or
right.
heavy machinery, that's very much the norm. That's all I can answer on that.
I mean, I would say that if he did, he must have passed the drug test because, I mean, all of them that I know of requires that. So I was wondering if he did, and I mean, he had his job, so if he has taken the drug test there, he must have passed it, right?
One would
he
only.
He was only there for 6 weeks, wasn't he? Am I still on the line? I'm not sure.
Yeah, you're here. I didn't hear the question, though.
I thought he had only worked for PDM for about 6 weeks.
Well, still, I mean, it seems like he would have had to take a drug test to get the job to begin with, because in that kind of work, usually, I mean, even driving a truck, you have to take a drug test. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm just wondering if they did require one.
But to put it this way, if you're a company that's insured and stuff like that, it would not be in your best interest to have somebody starting a job with a failed drug test.
Exactly. That's my point.
Yeah.
That is my point.
Okay, Cola, you...
I'm sorry, I took over your questions.
That's okay.
No, that was a good question because I wondered about that myself.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there's ways where, you know, people that do drugs clean out their system before they go and apply for a job, or
they have a designated tinkler.
Well, there's always a way of getting around things if they try hard enough. My next question would be about this Tina, Aunt Katrina. When Misty was picked up, she said her purse was left in Tina's car.
Mm-hmm.
Would she have happened to have been around when they had this thing going on, and why have they not, have they questioned Katrina, do we know?
They have not released any of that information, and as they have said, more questions are going to be asked and more arrests will be made. One could only assume that if she was in the vicinity of that string, of that sting, chances are that questions are being asked. They don't release everything when they have an ongoing investigation. Under the Sunshine Law, you know, if they're in the workings of an ongoing investigation, they don't have to release anything, and that might be just one of the things that we're dealing with right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you look at the jailhouse recordings, that they've been redacted, and that's a point that very few people in the press have actually noted in articles. Now, there's two possibilities for the redactions. One is that it directly concerns the Hayley Cummings search,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you by law they have to redact it because you know that case is not part of or is not hasn't yet.
It's separate from the criminal.
Yeah.
Right.
Drug charges. Okay.
Right. The other possibility is that the redactions concern the ongoing drug bust, and you know if they're talking about people that may be potential arrestees, they wouldn't. That they'd redact that as well.
Okay, and then I have one last question. I'll let you guys get back to the show. Timmy Crosland had mentioned in one of the conversations he had with Misty that he had been in prison in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Have we learned what county in Virginia?
I've been looking for that all morning, and I have not found anything conclusive or anything that I'm going to go on the air with right now, because there are a couple of things hanging, and until I can get anything definite, I'm not going to say anything, because that would be irresponsible, and might be disingenuous to the whole ordeal, too.
Okay. Well, thank you so much,
mm-hmm.
and I'll let you guys get on with your show. Have a great
Thanks
evening, everybody.
Denny, you like to listen and absorb. You're like a sponge. Do you have any comments?
I have a question, actually, for TJ, since he's on location there. TJ, since this whole thing started nearly a year ago, and up until this past week, this first event, and then apparently there's going to be some more things coming up over the next few days, who from the family, from Haley's family, would be it a stepmother or future stepmother or grandmother, mother, father, what have you, has acted the most like you would expect a grieving or distraught parent, grandmother, aunt, whatever, to act in this thing? Has any of the have any of the participants conducted themselves or shown the emotions that most people would expect of a family going through this kind of trauma?
Initially, all the family members were very distraught, but as the days went by, there was anger, and then there was a lot of directed anger toward other people, finding blame and fault with other people. You know, Marie Griffiths originally started pointing some fingers, and then she backed herself up. This was like the first week the child was missing, and she said, "You know, I hey, do over. I'm sorry about that." You know, and then Teresa Neves has come across to the public as very sincere and very much grieving. Mrs. Sykes, who's been taking in Ronald and Misty and Junior, and now all of nobody now, acted pretty in control and somewhat very proactive in some things, especially when there was a draining of a pond at the Mondex, and she felt like the police were lying to her. She's displayed a very strong type of maternal type of instinct or actions. But it seems to be, again, Denny, this is the hard thing. It depends on who you're talking to and what day you're talking to them. And I know that sounds almost like a running joke, and it's not supposed to be a joke. That is a matter of fact. Many of these people are very good at putting forth the emotion they want you to feel from them at the time you're speaking to them. Some of it is very honest, and some of it is very sincere, and others, well, you have to use your imagination to what it might or might not be covering. So it's very difficult to tell is the short answer.
Okay, let's go back out to the phone lines. This is complicated because we have two callers coming in from the 954 area code. First caller, you should be on the air.
Just calling to listen.
Calling to listen.
Okay, all right. Let's move on to the second caller from the 954 area code. Uh-oh, sounds like the same person. My, I guess we're being listened to in stereo. Okay, the other thing that happened this week were the photos that were released of the inner sanctum, the Haley room. Does this present a new openness from PCSO?
I would say that it does, but I'm going to kind of defer to the crime doctor here on this. You don't start showing your cards until you're feeling pretty confident, wouldn't you say, kind sir?
Yeah, that's generally the way it goes when you kind of know what's coming up in the deck, and then you're willing to put it out there.
It appears that they felt comfortable enough showing us at least where the books are being held, where the CDs and audio files are being held, where the transcripts of the interviews are being held. But, Simon, I'm with you. When we received that one picture, compressed, so there's no way in heck you can tell that timeline that they were looking at. It almost looked like they were drawing up plays on the chalkboard for the Super Bowl game today. You saw a lot of pictures, you saw a lot of lines, but you couldn't tell who was in the picture or where the lines were going.
Oh, it took me less than 30 seconds to, pull up my absolute best Wazoo piece of software to photo enhance. But it became apparent very quickly that, this isn't going to work.
Oh, man.
I have a question.
Yes?
It's going to go back to Crystal and her drug use.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of question. There's some questioning about whether there's proof or not, whether Crystal was actually a drug addict. Okay, my question is, though, is, and I don't remember if I read it from what you said, she said, that Marie said, or if it was somewhere else, because I read so many different things. But didn't Marie say that Crystal slipped this time and took a pill from someone else or something, and then she failed the drug test or something to that effect?
Yeah, that's why I said there are so many things, and Marie did not outline them item by item. She just basically made the blanket statement that, yes, it's true regarding failing the drug test. There have been a lot of folks putting in their information about that, about a Laura tab taken. Others were saying, that she had perhaps some in her system that showed up, and it had a dirty screen is what one term was. Now, if a person is using drugs, does that make a person an addict? I think you have to talk to an expert on that, and that's something I'm not. If someone uses something, whether it be recreationally or just to, quote, get by, does that mean they have a problem? Possibly. But as far as calling someone an addict, I'm not going to call anybody. I'm not schooled, and I'm not a doctor, so I can't make that.
Do you know if there's ever any proof about what was said about Crystal's baby being born while she was taking drugs or something to that effect?
I've seen a lot of that, but because that's some of the periphery that has not a whole lot to do with what my hard focus is, which is trying to find Haley, I've really not delved into too much of that. I mean, that's, once again, you're going outside. I feel that is kind of on the outer ring of the
target. I'm just asking because of discussion in the...
Oh, I know. I'm trying to answer. I'm not trying to answer you. I'm trying to answer the question.
Oh, okay.
But that's one of the outer edges of what I would hard target as far as what I'm trying to cover. And I would defer that to someone else who is covering those edges a little bit better.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And thank you for the folks who are asking questions in the chat room. Those are greatly appreciated. And Jan, you're a wonderful conduit for that, because every time I look at that, I get all dizzy. It moves too fast.
It's not easy.
Okay, let's try a hard question.
Sure.
we have a caller from the 417 area code. Caller, what's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Yes, this is Nikki. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Nikki.
Hi. Yeah, I don't know if PJ has heard this, but I had a question that there was a room where the police had all the evidence boxes and they were going to have a fresh set of eyes look at all that now that they had heard some of the stuff, the conversations in jail.
I don't know which set of eyes they're going to be. I do know that many of the same people who started on this case are still on it. Some of it had be taken off this case from time to time for exhaustion, and they were actually go get doctor's treatments because they weren't walking away from this case and being healthy with themselves. I don't know which fresh set of eyes would be on there, but it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to have other folks within their agency take a look, whether it's FDLE, FBI, or Putnam County Sheriff's Office. It would be a wise idea. And I'm going to refer to the crime doctor, Denny, here. Denny, in investigations past where you've maybe had a closer look at things, have fresh sets of eyes been of benefit in perhaps solving something?
Absolutely. In fact, just within the past few days, there's been something that I've been working on, and I had my wife take a look at the paperwork. I said, you know, I said, I'm hung up here. I said, I just can't figure this out. I said, I need some help. And she went over the documents. And, in fact, on the very first page of the documents was something that I missed. And maybe because it was the start of it, I felt the information would be further on in the pages. And I didn't pay the attention I showed up to the very opening. And there was something in there that led me to a solution. And I've heard mm-hmm. that, too. I know a lot of the police agencies now are using volunteers because of manpower shortages to come in and examine cold cases. And
right.
The fresh sets of eyes. Mm-hmm. So I think fresh sets of eyes are a very crucial thing, and I think they do work.
And they won't be so emotionally drained, and, you know, or maybe the answer is in those evidence boxes. There has to be a hair or, I just, you know, they said it wasn't a stranger abduction, so if it wasn't, but, you know, if they are selling drugs or whatever they do, there is going to be a lot of traffic in and out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other point, but I just don't think she had a blackout, though. That's my opinion.
I don't think anyone's accusing her of having a blackout.
They said if you're an alcoholic, you get blackouts, but if you take oxycodone long enough, you can just, you know, be okay. You can look like you aren't taking anything.
Could be. All right. Thank you uh-huh. for the call. And
Simon, can I comment on that caller, the last statement?
Mm-hmm.
It just so happens. This particular individual, if you've ever heard the old saying, I didn't know so-and-so drank till I saw them sober. about a week ago, I was dealing with someone, and I realize now that this particular individual functions normally at about a 0.2. It's just amazing when you realize that somebody that seems normal to you is actually about double the legal limit. For a DUI, but yet, because I guess they're just so accustomed to that amount of alcohol that you don't really know it. You're used to seeing them, and they can, you know, they get behind the wheel of a car and actually drive fairly normally, probably better than some other ones. But some people just apparently build up a tolerance and are able to function and act somewhat normal, even when, according to the law, they would not be.
Okay, we do have a very busy switchboard this afternoon. I'm going to go out to the 757 area code. Well, if my switchboard allows me. 757, what's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hi, it's Mitzi again. My question is, what do we know about Misty not wanting to babysit the children that evening and calling Teresa to babysit, and it goes on from there? Do we know anything about that?
I do know that when I was reporting this on Nancy Grace several months ago, there was an argument that took place that night, and that's when the phone got all disconnected, is that, you know, Misty was a bit tired from her escapade with friends, shall we say, that little binge that she had, and she did not want to babysit. In fact, she wanted to babysit other kids, if at all possible. And that argument ensued, and the phones went dead. I'm not aware of anything other than the hearsay that's going about right now. I can't put it in concrete fact that Ms. Neves was asked and declined. That I cannot give you a definitive answer, but I've seen that all over the place. I don't know if others, Simon, I don't know if you've gotten any more on that or not.
Well, I've heard the same scuttlebutt. It sounds reasonable. Misty didn't want to do it because she was too tired.
And then,
how come Misty's missing, supposedly when the child disappeared.
This is where some of what she says is in conflict with some of the evidence presented, and that's something that's been going on for ever since day two of this. Law enforcement has stated that she's not provided a consistent timeline, and that she has also some of her stories conflict with the evidence presented in the case. What is the evidence? And I get asked that a lot of times. Well, folks, the police and the investigators aren't going to give you that, because that could compromise the investigation. They can make a statement, but they don't have to really, show you A, B, C, D in 3D what they're talking about if it could compromise the case. I do know that some people are using, if this is true, then it's true. And if it's false, I've been hearing some people throwing that up, coming out very closely after it was learned of Crystal's failure of the drug screen as well. Here's some stuff. Take your eye off that ball, look at this ball. So I don't know if it's factual, and there's more that needs to be investigated on this. And to be quite honest with you, if all you ever worked on was this story, you'd have your hands full. You'd be doing 24/7.
Okay, I do have to let you folks know that we just lost the power in the house.
we can still hear you though.
All of our computers are down. Callers, if you're...
don't be stupid.
Yep. If you're, in the line waiting, it will take just a couple of minutes for us to reboot everything. But the good news is I have a $3 phone. Yeah, so it's hardwired. And I can still be on the line. DJ, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. I've lost my script. I've lost my switchboard.
We've had a script? I'm teasing. I know you do.
Okay. What else happened this week?
Well, like I said, so many things have happened. And one thing, going back to the audio tapes, and I'm certain virtually everyone who is listening to this program has heard some, if not all of them, because many people who listen to this program are very hardwired into this story. And we thank you for that, too. But if you go to bloggernews.net or thesky973.com, you will find the full listing of the tapes. The ones on the Sky will be on Where's Haley 1 year later. That will have connections to all the tapes and all the audio and video. The thing is that we find, going back to Simon's original thing about what's missing, Haley, these people are just real humdingers. In this case, they're complaining about a variety of different things. Misty wants to have candy and honey buns, and she can't stand that godforsaken crap they're giving her, which consists of, three fairly good balanced meals. They're nothing you'd order in a restaurant, but three squares, you got that. Ron doesn't seem to be too upset about the food, but evidently laundry service is an issue.
No, it's a huge issue.
and we'll break those down here in a second. And Tommy keeps getting people yelling at him all the time, yelling, "Where's Haley? Where's Haley?" Now, I've been to the St. John's County Jail, and I will tell you that is a pretty good-looking jail. You have a lot of different pods in there. It's a pod format or breakdown. It's tight. Ain't nobody getting out that's not supposed to get out. I'll just tell you that. But Misty is finding it unbearable. And I'm going to play you just a little clip of this because, by golly, she's going to do something. She's going to show the world that she's Misty Crosland and Cummings, and they will have to hear her.
It's bullshit. I'm tired of it. They're going to do something, or I felt like I wrote in a little fucking slip that if you guys don't do something, my family's going to go on the news and say how shitty you guys are doing that. And it's bullshit.
Yeah, there she is. She goes, yeah, the way they're treating us, my family's going to go on the news and tell everybody. Okay, that and a dollar, I'll get you a cup of coffee, miss.
Yes, my name.
Yeah, we did have a caller that I brought online just before this major disaster. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Yes, hi, my name is Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
Not Neves. My question is kind of twofold. I would like to know, I read an article earlier today that indicated that TN did not raise Ron, and I'd like to know some details about that, but probably a little bit more strong is my interest in why can we not get any official verification other than being satisfied by Ron's work hours. What did he actually work? Is there anyone out there who can honestly answer that question?
Ma'am, until they answer my requests, PDM, I can't get that for you.
No,
I cannot get the official, their official, on their letterhead, their stamp, what his actual working hours were that night, other than he had to do some overtime, which was verified through LE.
Right, and apparently
I can't go there with a board and break it over somebody's head at PDM to get you satisfaction. I can't.
No.
I'm frustrated by this question because I can't answer it.
I would just say that raises the specter that there is some issue about his hours, with no one speaking about them, and his going in early. I found, which Terry Shoemaker said, kind of, a little bit strange. But
yeah,
also,
that was strange. I agree.
But TN. Apparently, Annette Sykes is quoted stating that she had guardianship of, I guess, Ron and Crystal from ages 3 to high school, 12, 13, I'm not certain. Do we know what was going on in her life?
I can tell you that Teresa Neves told me a bit of a different story, is that when Marie married her husband, Crystal was not fitting in well with the situation, and that Crystal was taken in at that time from what I had gathered from Teresa, was her family. Now, whether that was Teresa or that was Mrs. Sykes, I assumed at that time, this is very early on, by the way, this is like
right.
March or something like that.
No, I respect that.
And they became a little bit more than just, her just living there a time after that, And then, of course, the children were born and what have you. I really don't know the role of Mrs. Sykes in raising Ron. To be quite honest with you, that is not something that really popped up on my radar screen, is trying to find Haley. Again, that's kind of down the outside edge of the pizza for me, but that is something that bears some looking into.
Well, I agree it's on the outside edge, but if you look at things now, he has used Annette Sykes' home.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, very much so.
Historically,
it's very
and his mother seems to have, she's in the media, but where has she been literally with these children?
With these children? With these children. Now, I understand from Teresa herself that she's had some neck injury or neck operations that have taken place, and she's a woman of about my age too, and that I can tell you hurts a hell of a lot more at this age than it would be when you're 20 or 25. And I understand that she's been recuperating from some surgeries, and I don't know how far along that recuperation has been or the progress of it or whatnot at this point. I'm just going by what I've been told by her.
Right. No, I understand you have to kind of ferret out what you're hearing from different people.
Oh, you have to filter.
And what is the truth.
Sure. Yeah, you have to filter it, that's for sure.
Yeah, I appreciate it, but I would just think that I would be amongst many who would kill, as you would too, TJ. I respect your work on this, to get something on the work hours. That's my other...
Oh, I want to ask you this. Are you convinced that Ron maybe squirreled out from underneath the fence and created a kidnapping or murder scenario for his own child?
Actually, I don't know.
What would draw you to that conclusion?
I will just tell you, I had either the fortune or misfortune of being down there in St. Augustine last year, and I went to the tents, and I saw and met many of the principals, and my hanky meter just went off the charts.
A lot of people's hanky meter did go off the charts there, and they have. And you know what? Until somebody gets a definitive answer, that hanky meter's going to go off. But I have to ask, if the police at this stage of the game have stated that even though he's in jail on drug charges, that Ronald and Crystal, for that matter, are at the bottom of the list of suspects as opposed to the top.
No, actually, TJ, it was Terry Shoemaker who stated that Ron went from number two to number one. And Ellie had first said that they were off the list of suspects, if my recollection is correct.
No, because I was sitting right next to Terry Shoemaker when he said that on Nancy Grace, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
He said that he's not the first suspect, he's the last suspect.
Right.
He's still on the list. That's exactly what he said.
Right, but Ellie is not going to give up their cards.
No, they're not. But on August 17th, when they made their, which was Haley's birthday, I believe, and they had the balloon release, they had welcomed other people to come in and do some searching with, but as long as they checked in with the sheriff's office and didn't violate any laws, they also asked where Misty Cummings was that night, if you had any information to come forward on that. And at that time, they said also the same thing, that Crystal and Ronald, I'm going to paraphrase it, just short of being cleared as suspects. But
okay,
that was
so
their press release. That was their press release, ma'am.
Yeah, you have it from some good sources. And I have to tell you, given what's out there on the Internet, I respect
ma'am,
that
I'm
you
gonna
and
tell you
Simon
a little
do.
Something about what's out there on the Internet and what's out there on the sideshow. You got a few people out there who got to be the gal in the know, and it all goes back to gossip over a fence post and over a backyard fence and who's got the dish on what. Whether it's real or not, there are some people who are playing fast and loose with some of this stuff, and somebody's going to get hurt. They really are. Some already have been hurt by some of this, these capers that go on the Internet that is gossip, that is taken for gospel. And until this thing is completely done, nobody knows what the whole truth is, and we can only go by what we're getting and who we're attributing our sources to. Not, I heard from someone or someone posted this. Where's their proof? Where's their verification? You have to always ask that when filtering out what information is what. You really do. And you're doing a good job by asking, the exact hours of PDM with their work hours. And until I get it from their letterhead, I can't print that. I can't put that out there.
I respect that, but I find it very suspect that neither LE or PDM or anyone is willing to talk about them. I think that may be telling, and I didn't get it from a fence post. That's just my intuition.
Oh, that's your intuition, and that's respected. It truly is. You know what? And if it turns out that Ron ran underneath a fence, gathered up a bunch of guys, created his own daughter's disappearance and had her killed for God only knows what reason, and that turns out to be the truth, well, good on folks. But until everything's been examined, and until everything comes out in the wash, I find that a little hard to believe at this point, going by what the officials in the investigation have told us so far. But if that turns out to be correct, at least we'll know what happened to the child. I'm a sap because I still want the child to be alive.
Oh my God! From your lips to God's ears.
Yeah.
As do I, and I certainly do not wish my intuition to be correct. So
all of us want that child home. They really do, ma'am. And I tell you what, I respect this conversation I've had with you. I respect you. I just get frustrated because the same question's been asked a million times and with the same answer, and it's the only answer I can give.
No, I understand. And you're true to yourself, unlike some others. And so truly, your heart's in the right place.
Well, God bless you, and have a very good day, and thanks for calling us here at Blog Talk Radio.
You as well. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. We have the data center rebooted.
Oh, good.
It was a scramble. Thank goodness it didn't happen in the middle of the Super Bowl.
Oh, heaven's sakes.
Have y'all heard anything about who this guy Talent is?
I have some information. Now, Simon, you got some primary information about him from Davenport, Florida, and I'm looking for some stuff in Orange County right now. If you have the original that we spoke of the other day, please go ahead while I try to pull up the other.
I don't have it up right now, but I read it in a comment that where they had a post for a website from the PCSO, but I never could get it open.
Probation violation, and this took place in 11/24 of 2009, which is right around Thanksgiving on that one. But I'm also getting word that he had a variety of different charges, just basically a troublemaker in the Orange County area, too. A lot of BS stuff. That's all I've got on the guy at this stage of the game. I'm trying to find some other information that...
Well, the reason I'm so curious about it is because Misty had really asked about him. You know, she was kind of strong wanting to know if he was going to come visit her or wanting him to come visit her.
Well, we're not absolutely
if it's the
certain.
Same talent.
All right, just the name Talent.
That's why I'm asking about who Talent is, because, I mean, it's the first time I heard his name mentioned, or I'm assuming it's a he, but she was very strong wanting to know if they were going to come visit her, and I believe it was her father told her no, or the mother, one. I don't remember which one told her that he probably wouldn't be coming, but I'm just curious as to who he is.
Right now, you know, little is known other than some of his crime trails. One contributor is trying to inform me, and I have to verify this, that he may be a guest in another Gray Bar Inn at this point in time, which would keep him from visiting Misty. So as soon as I get the who, what, where, why on that, I can fill in the blanks a bit.
Okay, TJ, there's another question in there they want me to ask you.
Okay.
Have you ever tried to interview the Croslands?
It's kind of hard to do since they don't have phones for the most part.
That's very true.
And I have interviewed Misty a couple of times. Several. Tommy's been one that I've not been able to interview. I really had no interest in speaking with Lindsay because at the time that was kind of far afield from, you know, the hard target of trying to find Haley. I didn't want to get into the soap opera, the sideshows again. But I have spoken with Misty. Hank at one time wanted to be paid for his interview, so I just wrote him off. I'm not kidding you. Back when the tents were up, Marlena Scheibo from Nancy Grace and I were, doing what we did at that point in time. And I said, well, did you get Hank? And she goes, oh, no, he wants to get paid for his interview. He feels that what he knows has value. And we both kind of looked at each other and said, well, perhaps he knows nothing. And I hadn't interviewed him since then.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Hey, TJ.
Yeah, hi.
If you got somebody who thinks they have valuable information, but yet they want to get paid for it, what's that say?
That says they don't know anything. That tells me that they're an opportunist looking for an opportunity.
Yes.
And we've seen plenty of those.
I mean, most news organizations, particularly large news organizations, do not pay for interviews. Of course, there is this gray area. Oh, have you got any photos? We can give you $100,000 for the photo.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
That kind of happened this week. Are those photos of the jail or of the Haley room?
Maybe.
those are photos that I have, and I offered them to CNN and Headline News, which are now owned by the Turner Company, but they're separate. CNN is their own thing with Wolf Blitzer. HLN is the other stuff with Nancy Grace and Mike Galanos and Jane Velez Mitchell. They were, you know, close cousins, but now they're Headline News. But I had to go through the paperwork with the parent company, which is CNN, to which Marlena Schiavo from the Nancy Grace show asked, is there a price for these photos? To which I replied, nope, just between friends. Well, we have to go through standards and practice and some other office. Even in private enterprise, they've got their own bureaucracy. And they sent out the who's the for, the what's, the who's, the what's, the what's, the what's, the who's this. And I said, look, the only condition I ask is that you credit WSKY-FM Gainesville Ocala when these are displayed on the air or in print. That's it. I don't want any money. You want to know why? Because I didn't take all those pictures. And I didn't take all of them. And that's just not right. It just wouldn't be fair. It wouldn't be right. And even if I did take those, I don't care. I'm telling a story. There are other people who have those pictures too. You know, so why would I screw you for, you know, $5,000 for all those pictures? You know, what kind of time did it take? It certainly wasn't worth no $5,000 or $100 or $50. All I asked was just that one condition. And we had to go through, and I think I sent you a copy of the email threads, Simon and Jan. I think four, maybe five responses back and forth on that to make them understand, no, I don't want any money. But they do. They often will pay you for your photos.
Oh, we've seen it time and time again. Maybe not so much with CNN, but certainly
with ABC, NBC,
right,
CBS.
Yeah, I mean, oh no, we don't pay for interviews, but we'll give you a whole swag of cash for the photos just to use them.
Oh yeah, yeah. But, yeah, it's unbelievable, some of the games that are played. People have asked, you know, what kind of money do you get paid, TJ, for appearing on the O'Reilly Factor with Bill O'Reilly? Or when I did participate on the Nancy Grace show, and I don't do that show anymore, at least during this case, I won't be a part of that show for some local reasons. Jane Velez Mitchell, I still participate on that program, and also Headline News, Prime News with Mike Galanos. I don't get paid a nickel. They, you know, if I have something to say and they ask me if I want to be a part of it, that's it. There's no pay. And if I don't show up, you know what? No skin. They'll find the story otherwise. The only thing that has ever been an act of consideration is if I had to go to a studio. 9 times out of 10, I just do it over the telephone because it's easy. But if they wanted me to appear in Jacksonville or Orlando or another studio or even on scene there in Satsuma, which I've done a million times, what they will do is provide transportation for me to get to and from the shoot. And that's it. There's no money involved.
And I would like to point out that Blogger News Network has not paid TJ a cent.
No, but I am taking you and Jan out to dinner when this is over.
Oh, awesome.
Right. I'll tell you what. When this is over, we are going to have one big party.
Yes.
Let's
hopefully we can celebrate
the happy ending.
Yes, thank you, Jan. I was going to say that hopefully it'll be on a birthday of a young girl who's able to blow out her candles.
Exactly.
Can I ask a question, Simon?
You're invited too.
Oh, okay. I was just, you know, talking about paying for interviews and so forth. My recollection is, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of these cases, one of the first things you'll hear from an attorney or a legal analyst is that witnesses or potential witnesses' credibility is shot because they gave an interview for money to the National Enquirer or some similar publication.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be like a death knell for credibility. If they find out, if word gets out that the witness has been paid to give their story to someone, am I correct in that? Is that generally speaking what happens if someone gives a paid interview?
It's an easy shot, from what I've been told.
Oh yeah, I've heard this same story over and over again. You know, accept money for an interview, you're done. You know, the law enforcement do not want to use you in the case. And, which should make for an interesting trial when Casey Anthony finally makes it into the courtroom.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, it's going to be hard to find anyone that hasn't...
That wasn't off of paid money.
The vigils. I know that you weren't there in person, TJ, but do you have any feedback? You know, was it a positive thing? What happened?
All I have received from some folks that were there, that there was about 100 or so on hand, a sparse bit of media there, and that Crystal was visibly distraught and crying a lot, as you would imagine. But I really haven't heard a whole lot more than just those bullet points. But I'll try to get in touch with some of the folks who have covered that, and we'll have that for you probably on Monday. I do know that there's one planned for Satsuma, and that would be on Wednesday. When
you don't know what time or anything, do you?
Not offhand.
I have it somewhere. I just don't have it handy.
I know. I had it somewhere, too, but I can't remember what I did with it.
You know, this stretch of the game, kids, we can hide our own Easter eggs here in a few weeks, you know?
The other thing I wanted to go back to is the redaction of the tapes. The tapes are fun. We can poke fun at Ronald. We can poke fun at Misty. We can poke fun at Tommy. But we really don't know what was redacted. Do you think that the redactions were about the Haley aspect or the potential for more arrests in the drug side of the case?
I'm thinking that there's probably one or two, one maybe, and possibly two, with the Haley side. And I think they only caught just a little whiff of what's going on with the drug side. And I think Donna Brock's going to be the key to the drug side, because I get the feeling that the other players were just penny ante. They were just small potatoes. But I get the feeling Miss Brock might be the pipeline here. But we're going to have to wait and see. That there's no evidence to suggest that she is or isn't. There's a lot of unknown, but some stuff that's been rumbling through, and it has to be investigated a little further, but that's the rumble.
What, and the rumor I heard was that the Donna Brock tapes might be out as early as tomorrow.
That would be correct. I'm going to try to get over there as quickly as I possibly can tomorrow afternoon. and meet with Sergeant Chuck Mulligan to see if we can't get those as fast as possible. I mean, Gainesville is right here, pretty much in the center part of the peninsula, the north center part, and it's 75 miles to the Atlantic and about 55 to 60 miles to the Gulf of Mexico. So, you know, it's just a couple hours drive, spit in the ocean, come back home.
Actually, I probably should share this with the people listening. We knew that the tapes were coming out.
Yes.
And TJ was all geared up. He's going to barrel out there, grab the CDs or DVDs.
8 hours, baby.
Yeah, and we're good to go. And then suddenly some video turns up. Where did that come from?
And what happened was that Channel 4 was able, because they're much closer, they're right there in Jacksonville, and heck, that's only, what, 20, 30 miles away from their studio to the sheriff's office. And Jen Bauer just goes down there in the little news cruiser, and she picks up this little CD. And Mulligan says the next day, says, you can have it if you want it. I said, oh, no, our readers have been there and done that, and we linked quite professionally to Channel 4 so they get all the credit. But he says, well, you want it? I said, no. If I have to pay $5 a copy for the burn charge, I'm going to wait for the goods, the other stuff the folks haven't seen or heard yet. And that's what it was. So, yeah, we have to pay the sheriff's office the reimburse. It's a reimbursement of the taxpayers for the burning of the CD.
Oh, hey, $5 a CD isn't bad.
No, it's not. No, it's really not. We got a lot on there, too, so.
Right, and actually, the real funny part of this story is the little piece of video which turned up on HLN. It was 4 minutes, and that was all they had. And Nancy played it over and over and over again.
Well, here's another trick that they used on there, and they did it to their advantage because their audio and visual. There's a part where Misty leans into the camera. Of course, she can't see it with the telephone, and they put the box up where it says breaking news, which usually is 3 days old, and you can't see her mouth. And what they did was they dubbed in her telephone calls that we got and sent to them. After we posted, a copy was sent. I sent a copy to them as well, to Mike Galanos, and it was shared up the line. And anyway, what they did was, you can't see her mouth, but you see her holding the telephone, you see her moving her eyes and everything. They dubbed the audio for that into that same loop, Simon.
Oh, I spotted that, actually.
So any new tape that doesn't have any new video, you're going to see Misty holding the telephone, but you can't see her mouth. And it's all going to be the updated tapes.
This, in my mind, is a very, very bad way to do news.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is some something that's brewing, and it's something that I don't know if I shared some of it with you. But some of it appears also on thesky973.com. I'll pay you $5 for that plug. Nancy Grace didn't exactly read all the notes about the Florida mom, and we're talking about Melinda Duckett, another child.
Oh, I was going to bring that up.
When he was 2 years old. This is another one of these things. I've been working on this since the Jessica Lunsford incident where John Cooey, was tried, convicted, and then that horrible tragedy. And then Trenton Duckett takes place. Then you had Kaylee and now Haley. Kaylee was just a little bit farther out of our listening area, but the Trent Duckett thing, a filing in a lawsuit against Nancy Grace says the talk show host guest Booker knew that a Florida mother who killed herself after being grilled on the show had previously been committed for mental instability. Now, the filing was made on Wednesday, and it says that Grace's guest Booker, Karen Schiffman, I don't know Karen, I've never met Karen, and that's spelled K Duckett, knew of Melinda Duckett's previous mental problems and that she did not tell Duckett's attorney ahead of the interview that the mother would be questioned by Grace about her missing son. Grace testified at a deposition, which, by the way, had cameras rolling against her lawyer's better wishes last month, that she didn't read any pre-interview notes about Duckett. I got news for you. I've been on that show. Sometimes I'm convinced that she doesn't read a whole lot of those pre-interview notes. So I don't know. And that's another thing you have to wait to see how it all washes. The host of HLN, formerly CNN Headline News, is being sued by Duckett's family. They blame her for inflicting emotional distress on the 20-year-old mother during an appearance on her talk show in 2006. And they're very worried about how the other press and the other media are going to cover her trial when it comes down here to Florida. And I believe it's going to be held in the federal court in Ocala, where I covered the Wesley Snipes tax fraud and tax evasion federal trials. So we're going to have to wait and see on that. And it'd be interesting to see if she gets preferential treatment or if they kind of put the dogs on her for because she's a celebrity and has a show that deals with courtroom proceedings.
Well, you know, I read the self-same article, and I was absolutely horrified. I do a lot of interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, most of my interviews are not news-oriented. They're with authors or musicians. But I do my homework.
You gotta.
If you don't do your homework, I mean, you're sunk. But what this leads me to believe is, oh, we'll just go on air. It doesn't matter. I mean,
yeah. Well,
ratings.
I don't do that show anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do that show anymore. Wow. This. Anyway, it's going to be, I think we're going to see a feeding frenzy here. This happens.
Oh, feeding frenzy.
Nancy, you bet. And I got to tell you, they're almost half-assed kind to Wesley Snipes because there are a few people in Marion County who sort of think that the tax code's rather crooked, too, and they saw him as a patriot. I just don't know if they're going to be, handling Miss Grace in the same manner.
I mean, Wesley, you can kind of go along with, why should he be paying $20 million tax? That's not fair.
Not fair at all. But, you know, this community, I will tell you, is no stranger to celebrities, so having a celebrity trial here is kind of like a walk in the park. John Travolta lives here. Now, he and his wife, Kelly Preston, and their little girl, Emma Blue, and they recently lost their son, Jed, as everyone has heard. But, he does a lot of good things for the community. So it's not too unusual to see Kelly Preston at the grocery store. It's not too unusual to see John take his little girl out for a ice cream float, of all places, at a Denny's. I mean, who would expect you to see John Travolta and his little girl have an ice cream or a hamburger at a Denny's? I think that's the reason why he does it, because, it can't be, Or him working out at one of the local health clubs, or having a mid-afternoon snack at Tony's Sushi. So, I mean, it's not that unusual. I mean, other people like Bobby Goldsboro, there's a name from the past. You know, heck, he's an artist now, and he does all of his paintings and stuff and has art shows. People see him walking down the street and around here, too. So, you know, having celebrities down here in the town of Ocala, which most people call Slocala because the pace is about two-thirds time, it's no big deal. They just have their share of celebrities. So George Steinbrenner, who owns the Yankees, has got racehorses down here. You see him around all the time. In fact, he owns a couple of restaurants. So it will be interesting. So when Nancy comes down, how it gets painted, how it gets treated.
I have a suspicion that Nancy's probably going to meet a fairly hostile crowd.
Oh yes, that would be yes. Now, although She was a screaming advocate during the Jessica Lunsford thing, and you know, she was on the right side of the coin there. This thing with Melinda Duckett, you got a dead girl and a missing boy still out of the deal. So you got a lot of raw ends. And initially, she appeared to be very much wanting to help Ronald Cummings in the disappearance of Haley. And Ron's behavior, of course, has landed him in jail. And she's, toward the end of her conversations with him on the air, basically said she didn't believe him anymore. And, you know, so how that's going to play down here, I don't know either. But it'll be volatile.
Yes. Denny, are you still with us?
I certainly am.
What's your thoughts on the role of the press and in regard to these kinds of cases?
Well, the press obviously can keep the story alive, keep the name of the missing person or victim out there. So it plays certainly a very crucial role. On the other hand, you look at it from a business perspective, I can understand that the outlets, be it a print or electronic, want stories that are going to sell advertisements, sell copies, what have you. So it's, you know, they don't look at it, I think, the media outlets from the, maybe from their heart. They look at it from their wallet. And
okay,
if a story isn't generating the interest to sell advertisement or sell copies or issues, then unfortunately for the victim or the missing person, that story can kind of fade from view. And again, I understand it, but it's not a good thing if you're on the victim side of things.
I think, though, that the major aspect, and certainly the one that comes up in the Duckett case, is that the media are being accused of not manufacturing the story, but doing it in such a way that inflicts damage.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got to have responsible reporting. I was looking at it from the standpoint of keeping the name and keeping the story going, but it's worse yet, I think. I'd rather not have coverage, I think, than have erroneous reporting, someone looking to create news that isn't there to sell the, you know, their issues or their copies or their advertising space. I think that is... it's a total disservice because you're keeping the story alive with erroneous information. I don't think that helps anyone except maybe the financial statement of the venue that's doing it.
One thing that I'd like to toss in the mix before we have to get off the call is that, folks, that I often will tell you of somebody who's done a good story, and I will tell you that a competitor of mine locally is the Gainesville Sun. But if you go to Gainesville.com, which is that newspaper online, Gainesville.com, they've done a wonderful segment today on this whole deal. And there's of all people, they talk to Steph Watts about how bloggers have played a role in this. And now he said something that was stated on this show back in, I think, April or May, that the irresponsible aspect of some of this, with irresponsible players in the reporting of this case with Haley, has turned it into basically an interactive reality TV show. And no truer words were ever spoken. And that comes from a guy who has a nose for news.
Yes, he does indeed. Oh, okay, we're inside about the last 60 seconds. Let's go around the table and get everyone's final comments. I'm going to start with Jen.
You would. All I have to say is that let's bring Haley home, please. Somebody please cough it up. Just whatever you have, let us bring this little girl home.
TJ.
Bring her home and who dat?
Yeah, you're right.
And go Saints. You forgot that bit.
Well, yeah. That's who dat.
Denny.
Yes, I'm hoping that these vigils and any other events regarding the one-year anniversary of Haley's disappearance maybe prompt to someone to come out, whether be it someone who's currently a guest in the county facility or whether it's someone we're not even aware of, but that maybe something now will trigger someone to do the right thing that we've been waiting for almost a year. So I want to keep my fingers crossed that that happens.
This is Simon Barrett, and I want to wish everyone a great Sunday and thank everyone for listening in. The search for Haley Cummings is certainly not over. We will be continuing to cover the story, and no doubt we will have a program next week, and I have no doubt in my mind that the major news is going to be the Saints are the Super Bowl winners.
Yes.
Hell freezes over, pigs fly, and the Saints are your Super Bowl champions.
I do want to thank you all for taking part. It's been wonderful. Let's do it again soon. Bye.
Bye, everyone.